Welcome to Truth Matters Church. Visit us at truthmatterschurch.org. Continuing our verse-by-verse study of 1 John, today we're reminded that before the Great Tribulation, even before the Antichrist makes his appearance, a worldwide apostasy occurs. Many Christians will abandon their faith and follow after the doctrine of demons. How can we stay on guard and stand firm when this great apostasy happens? Let's let Scripture guide us to the answer. Here is Pastor Alex.
The title of this message is The Great Apostasy. I can tell you that, at least for me, I've also had some preconceived notion on what the apostasy was, especially with respect to the church. But as we'll see, and when we go through the study, it's actually much more broader than that. Yes, it includes the church, but you'll see it extends beyond that. And in fact, there's going to be a couple of apostasies. And as we'll see, there's going to be a differentiation between what John is saying here and Paul says in his epistles. We'll see what apostasy that is, but when we look at other scripture, we're going to see that there's going to be even greater apostasy, and that's the great apostasy. So for our chunk of scripture that we will be covering today, it's verses 19 through 24. And as I mentioned, just giving you a clue in, this is an end times prophecy. I do remember hearing this phrase, "They went out from us." And some will say, oh, if someone starts in the faith and then leaves the faith, this applies to them. That's true, right? So if someone starts in the faith, in the Christian faith, and let's say they end up rejecting or abandoning the faith and they die that way, they went out from us, that truth, could it apply to them? On that sense, yes. But as we'll see in John's passage here, he's actually also prophesying that that's true. Again, in that situation, if someone were to leave the faith, we can also say that they were never saved, and we'll see that that's true. But again, what we'll find is when John is writing this phrase, it is an end times prophecy. So the doctrine we will learn today, and this is kind of self-explanatory, true believers will never depart the faith. That's doctrine. That you can take that to the bank. That's true. If you are a true believer, you will never depart the faith. And that's part of where John is also encouraging us. But just know that time is going to come, whether to deny the Christian faith or be killed. That's, again, it's a warning for believers who will be there towards the end of human history, that the point will come where denounce the faith or be killed. That's where John is getting at. They went out from us. Those who denounce the faith during that great time, he's saying they were never of us. Again, it's prophetic. He's warning us. And the application, what we'll find is that we are to remain in the faith and to persevere through falsehood and persecution. Can I say this? And Jeremy, you've actually shared, what was that? That one article. You know, pretty much the premise of the article was, you know, there was this professed Christian. And now that the time, I guess you can say, his Christian faith is being challenged by what's going on in the world, he was pretty much saying, well, if I knew this was the cost, then I would have thought about becoming a Christian, kind of deal. So just know that that is true, just kind of at a general sense. But just know that a true believer will always remain in the faith and will persevere through falsehood and persecution. So bottom line is, again, if the situation was you started in the faith and then you forsook the faith, you were never of the faith. So that happens obviously throughout time. It's happening even now. But then there's a specific event that John is also prophesying in the future, and we will again see that. So without further ado, let's go ahead and read our portion for today. We'll read 1 John chapter 2, and we'll read verses 19 through 24. Again, I'm reading from the NAS. So John writes there, "They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown that they are not of us. But you have anointing from the Holy One, and you all know. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also. As for you, let that abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. So now let's begin to walk through our passage today. So let's relook at verse 19. John writes there, "They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown that they all are not of us." So what we're going to look at, again, we're going to look at the phrase, "They went out from us." And John is referring to the apostasy. And again, it's an end times prophecy. And as a reminder, in our last study, when we were talking about the five clues of the Antichrist, clue number four was, well, first of all, the apostasy needs to happen first before Antichrist arrives on the scene. So let's reread that text again, 2 Thessalonians 2, and we'll read verses 1 through 4. Paul writes there, "Now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus and our gathering together with him, to him, that you not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed either by a spirit or a message or a letter as if from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come." Clue there, the day of the Lord, and the day which is judgment, and the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're putting it on the same day. So just this is kind of a clue. But let's read verse 3. "Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come," here it is, "unless the apostasy comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God." So right here, you know what's clear in Scripture? Our gathering with Christ and the day of the Lord in judgment is not going to happen unless this happens first. Unless the apostasy happens first and the son of destruction, the man of lawlessness, is revealed. Right there, again, that doesn't support a pre-trib rapture, because Paul says here the apostasy needs to happen first, and then the man of lawlessness is revealed, and then only after that time can the rapture occur and the day of the Lord and his judgments on the earth follow. So right there, this has to happen first. Again, that does not support a pre-trib rapture. Pre-trib meaning the rapture occurring before the seven-year period, or also called the Great Tribulation. But as we'll see in this verse, Paul says here, unless the apostasy, now the is also a very key word because it's a definite article. It's not just apostasy in general. So he's saying unless a general apostasy happens, he's saying unless the apostasy, it's a definite article. So it is a specific apostasy. Now, can we say, has there been apostasy from John's day to this day? Yeah, generally speaking. But that's not what Paul is talking about here. He's talking about the apostasy at the end of, you know, towards the end of time, that has to happen first before Antichrist arrives in the scene. So it's that apostasy, the apostasy. So this apostasy, again, is tied to the coming of our Lord Jesus, the rapture, the day of the Lord, and when the man of lawlessness, son of destruction, is revealed, meaning that apostasy that comes, you know, again, that happens first, the man of lawlessness is revealed, and then following the day of the Lord in judgment, including our gathering with him. So this is a prophecy, again, that is specific to the apostasy that will occur in the end times. Hopefully that was pretty clear. And where I'm getting at here is John is saying the same thing we're seeing, they went out from us. He's also looking at that same time, as we will see. So concerning the end times, so when you study Scripture, you'll see different terms like the last days. Well, we know that the last days occurred, you know, ever since Jesus ascended, right? And Jesus arrived and ascended. From that point forward is the last days. So there's the last days, generally speaking. But oftentimes, again, depending on the prophecy or Scripture, the last days is also speaking about the last years of human history, you know, towards the end. Paul's talking about that here as well. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 9. But realize this, that in the last days, let me pause there. Again, this is prophetic. And Paul is describing the characteristics of the people, and you can see the culture in the world at that time. In the last days, difficult times will come. Why? For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these, for among them are those who enter into households and captivate weak women, weighed down with sins, led on by various impulses, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth. So again, another characteristic of people at that time, they will oppose the truth. Men of depraved mind, here it is, rejected in regard to the faith, but they will not make further progress, for their folly will be obvious to all, just as Jannes' and Jambres' folly was also. So there you can see I amplified rejected in regard to the faith. Again, that's talking about this apostasy towards the last days. So I want to just connect with this verse. And Paul is describing, and it's prophetic in nature, in the last days, and we just read what the characteristics were. And then it says that they oppose the truth, and they are rejected in regard to the faith. And I'll talk a little bit about the faith. When you see the Bible and you see the faith, it's the Christian faith. It's the true gospel revealed in Scripture. So that's the faith, the Christian faith. Biblical Christianity, that is the faith. And they are, these men are rejected in regard to the faith, to the Christian faith. So rejected there in the Greek is adokimos, and it means they failed the test. So these men failed the test. And so it infers that such individuals identified with the faith at one point and whose faith failed in light of the truth. So what we get from here is there's going to be men in the last days that will start in the faith, and then they will later oppose the truth. And in opposing the truth, they are showing themselves to have failed, quote unquote, the faith test. Because no one who is of the Christian faith will ever oppose God's truth. That's kind of a telltale. If you're resisting the Bible as God's word, well, someone, a child of God is not going to oppose his word or his truth. So that's a red flag. And again, if you are identifying yourself as a Christian, and that's you, again, test, check your faith, test, because if you are resisting the Bible and you are opposing truth and you're looking at a way to undermine the Bible, well, that's what such men did here. And we saw what characteristics followed, right? Very, very evil and corrupt in heart and in deed. Let's look at another verse. Again, what I'm trying to do is, remember when John says they went out from us and we went to Paul, and he's talking about the apostasy. We're looking at other areas of Scripture that's tying the last days, right, that apostasy that's being described, and, you know, to help paint the picture of that prophecy. So let's look at 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 3. Paul says there, but the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, explicitly says that when? In later times. There's the last days, there's later times, again, towards the end of human history. I put an asterisk there. It says some will fall away. There it is, from the faith. Some will fall away from the Christian faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons by means of the hypocrisy of liars seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron, men who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods which God has created to be gratefully shared in by those who believe and know the truth. So, in 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, Paul says specifically, he says some, that's the tis, it's a tis in the Greek. So it's certain ones. It's not just in general. It's saying certain ones. This, a certain group of people are going to fall away from the faith. And again, that's the Christian faith, or they're going to fall away from the biblical gospel. And as we know, you know, many churches today, especially more so true here in the West, I mean, how's their doctrine? It's loosey, I use the word loosey-goosey. There's churches with loosey-goosey doctrines. And what happens is if you don't tighten up your doctrine, there's going to be a corrosion of truth. And when there's a corrosion of truth, you're going to open and be susceptible to doctrines of demons. You're going to open yourself up to other quote-unquote truths that aren't found in Scripture, which is false, which is a doctrine of demons. But that's going to contribute ultimately to this apostasy at the end. So the church in general, you know, what's interesting is, you know, the gospel of Jesus Christ, we hear the term gospel. If you really think about it, You know, a lot of, you can even start with the reformers when they broke away from the Catholic Church, in which they tried to elevate, you know, church tradition and the papacy, and saying that these are, that, you know, the church or the Pope is at equal par with God. And then in that Great Reformation, you know, Martin's 95 Theses, nailing it to the door and saying, you know, the sola scriptura, and upholding scripture. We're rescuing the gospel from the church. And the warning is, again, not having sound doctrine. So where's the sound doctrine about forbidding marriage? So whatever religion, whether it's Catholicism or any other religion, when you're forbidding marriage, what's your source? The scriptures, you know, the Old Testament and New Testament, the 66 books of the Bible, doesn't forbid marriage. In fact, marriage is celebrated. And in fact, the marriage, as we see in Ephesians 5, in the mystery behind marriage, was a picture of the love relationship between Christ and the church. So the marriage is a great picture. The marriage is actually upheld. The mandate that was given to Adam, and you can say since then, was for, you know, men and women to procreate. So again, in verse 3, as you pointed out there, Jeremy, yeah, that's a red flag. Where are you forbidding marriage? And where are you abstaining food? Because as we read in scripture, what is it, in Paul's letter, was it Romans chapter 14, about food, right? All food is good if it's received in faith and in thanksgiving, but also to be considerate about those who might stumble in those areas. And the point is, it's doctrines of demons. What happens is, when you start to add requirements to God, and you're saying, oh, God forbids you to eat certain things. Did God say that? If he didn't say that, is that from God or from Satan? That's why we say it's doctrine of demons. And that's the warning here. But unfortunately, before that apostasy happens, before Antichrist comes, what we're seeing, especially in the church, when you look at history and you look at today, just look at the church in general. Find some churches that actually teach the Bible, like for real. Who's teaching the full counsel of God and teaching nothing but the Word of God from the pulpit or whatever setting that is? Nothing else. Not trying to be popular, not trying to be hip, not trying to fit in, not trying to entertain. Just really standing before you, opening up God's Word and just giving it to you. Tell me where you can find it. Like, be honest about it. And just say, okay, if you start hearing anything but God's Word and that becomes more of the focus versus the Word of God, that's for the most part, most of the churches, most, the majority. And all that is to say, in order for this prophecy to be fulfilled, there will be a famine in God's Word being taught. That's going to lead to the apostasy at the end. So all that is to say is the church at the end, the church, is going to be the biggest culprit. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I have been in Revelation, for example, and I've been studying the letters to the seven churches. And not coincidentally, the seventh letter to the seventh church, to the church of Laodicea, we all probably know that church most out of all the other churches because they were the lukewarm church. They were neither cold nor hot. And Jesus is warning, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. And that is another way to say, I am going to come, and I'm going to come with discipline and judgment, and it's not going to be pretty. So it's a warning. So fittingly, the last letter to the seventh church, the seventh letter to the church of Laodicea, was a lukewarm church. And again, I think that's also prophetic in that that's going to be the state of the church at the end of the latter times. It's sad that scripture is warning us. So don't be surprised if you can't find sound Bible teaching, because it is slim pickings out there. But let's continue on. Again, we're looking at they went out from us. Remember, Jesus warned us himself. He said in the very popular Olivet Discourse passage in Matthew 24, when you open up yourself to loosey-goosey doctrines and you don't really hold on to the faith once and for all entrusted to the saints, it's going to open also the church up to false Christs and false prophets, despite Jesus' warning in Matthew 24, let's begin at verse 23. Then if anyone says to you, behold, here is the Christ, or there he is, just do not believe him. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, there it is, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told you in advance. So here Jesus is warning towards the end, the latter times, the later times. He's saying there's going to be false Christs and false prophets. And again, as we covered in our message last week, there John is also warning there are many antichrists, right, that have come in his day that will continue to come before the antichrist. But here when we read Jesus' warning, he's saying towards the latter times, towards this great apostasy, this latter period, he's saying there's going to be, you can say there's going to even be a pickup. There's going to be people saying, hey, Christ is here in the Middle East. Hey, he's out right there. He's over here. He's in the forest. He's over there. Let's come and let's go meet him. And if you have loosey-goosey doctrine, you're not going to know. That's not how Christ comes. That's not how you describe his coming. He actually warned us that many are going to come saying that he is a Christ. And he's saying, I told you, don't listen. I warned you. I told you in advance. And you know what? You're going to hear that in other parts of the world, let's say in the Middle East, there's someone's going to be claimed to be Messiah. And he's going to perform great signs and wonders to mislead, even if possible, the elect. If we're here at the latter times, we're going to hear news that someone's claiming to be Messiah and is doing miracles. Then we go, but again, if you have loosey-goosey doctrine, you're going to believe that. Mislead, even if possible, the elect. They go, wait, the Bible doesn't talk. Jesus, you're not going to come in that way. No, you're going to come in the clouds and everyone's going to see you and the tribes of the earth will mourn. Right? So we guys, he's coming, or when he ascended and was taken away in the cloud, the angels that were there, what did they say to the disciples? Why are you gazing into the heavens or into the clouds? He goes, this same Jesus who left, he goes, he's going to come back in the same way. But again, you have loosey-goosey doctrine. You don't know that. You're not taught the Bible. Someone's going to go there. You're going to believe. And you're going to listen. And Jesus said, look, I told you before. We're looking at areas in scripture that's looking prophetically towards the latter times. And that's going to tie into the, when John is prophesying here, they went out from us. Now let's look at another portion of scripture in Jude, verses 17 through 21. Jude writes there, but you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they were saying to you, here it is, in the last time. So again, when you study scripture, when it says in the last time, in the last days, those are kind of key terms that'll help you keep, okay, they're talking about the same period of time. In this case, it's towards the end times. When he's saying in the last time, there will be mockers. I'm not a fan of that translation, mockers. When you think about mockers, it's like mocking, right? You know, when you're I'm mocking you. Are you mocking me? No, the Greek here for mocking, it's actually teaching falsely. It's false teachers following after their own ungodly lust. So it's not mockers mocking Christianity, although you can say it is mocking it when you're not taking it serious. But again, the more appropriate interpretation is there will be false teaching, false teachers in particular, right? When he says at time there will be mockers, in the last time there will be false teachers following after their own ungodly lust. You see how that flows better? These are the ones who cause divisions, worldly minded, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Christ Jesus Christ to eternal life. So again, in the last time, the end time is in view, and also Jude is warning us that there will be an apostasy, and false teachers will be a big part of that apostasy. So let me ask you a rhetorical question. Are there false teachers in the Christian church today? Are there false teachers who claim Christianity, who claim that they teach the Bible? They might even hold the Bible in their hand and might read a verse, but will not teach you truth, will actually give you false teaching. It's becoming more prevalent, isn't it, in our time? If there's any believer who disagrees with that statement and thinks that for the most part the Christian churches are good in terms of handling sound doctrine, again, I would just submit to you, kind of take a step back. What are you evaluating that on? Because the test is really scripture and who's teaching it. But Jude is warning us there. And what will these false teachers do? They're going to divide and separate from the faith. In other words, they're going to apostatize. So remember, look, they're in verse 19 again in Jude. These are the ones who cause divisions. So they're going to divide and separate from the faith. In other words, they're going to apostatize. So these false teachers will get to a point and they're going to say, this is the way. And they're going to leave the way, the truth, and the life, or the faith. And that's, again, speaking about this apostasy towards the end. So here's an assumption. And remember I was mentioning in our introduction, I had a presupposition. When I hear it about the apostasy, I just thought about the church. We've been talking a lot about the church, and that's true. And I would say, actually, it's a large part of the apostasy that John is prophesying about, as well as the other New Testament authors that we read. But you know, I want to suggest to you, it's beyond the church. Actually, when you look at that word apostasy in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3, if you take that Greek word, apostia, it's used twice in the entire New Testament. Once, again, it's in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3. But here's another one, and this, I thought, gave pretty good insight about this word apostasy. It's in Acts 21. So the context here, Paul was en route to Jerusalem, and he was actually warned by Agabus, the prophet, that he will be, you know, he will be arrested and seized in Jerusalem. And we know the story. Paul's like, I'll die for the gospel if need be. So this is the context. He's on his way to Jerusalem, and this is before his Roman imprisonment. So let's pick it up. Acts 21, verse 17. After we arrived in Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. And the following day, Paul went in with us to James, and all the elders were present. After he had greeted them, he began to relate one by one the things which God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. And when they heard it, they began glorifying God, and they said to him, "You see, brother, how many thousands there are among the Jews of those who have believed, and they are all zealous for the law, and they have been told about you that you are teaching all the Jews." What are you teaching them? Who are among the Gentiles? Here's the teaching: to forsake apostia, Moses, telling them not to circumcise their children nor to walk according to their customs. What then is to be done? They will certainly hear that you have come. So here, again, let me kind of say what's going on here in context and why I'm, again, going to submit to you that this apostasy is beyond the church. So in context here, remember, Paul has been preaching the gospel, and his primary focus has been bringing the gospel to the Gentiles, or those who aren't Jews. So he's bringing the gospel, and when he's giving them the gospel, Paul is not saying you need to obey the law or the law of Moses. He's saying, we are free from the law, right? We are free from the works of the law, that by works of the law will no man be justified, right? Isn't that part of his gospel? So now he's going back to Jerusalem. And of course, we know that the Jews are zealous for the law. That's their identity. And of course, they're upset. They're really upset that here's this Paul preaching this gospel and telling these Gentiles to believe that they don't need to obey the law. So that's the ruckus that's happening in Jerusalem, is that Paul wasn't upholding the law. In fact, in the Jewish mind, they're saying you're making them apostate the law, forsake the law. So here's where I'm getting at. Part of the apostasy, you know, would also include abandoning the law of Moses, the Jews. So towards the end of time, or the latter times, when there is the apostasy that they went out from us, we know that, of course, we know that it's in the church, us, right, John. But just know, John's a Jew too. You know, he can be speaking broadly and saying the fellow Jews will also depart the law of Moses. So all that is to say collectively that the apostasy at the end, yeah, the church is a big part, but also part of that, there's going to be a turning away from the law of Moses in the Jews in Jerusalem. They will be going after these false Christs. They will depart the law of Moses. That's part of the apostasy first, before Antichrist comes. See how it's kind of coming together? Now, I want to suggest to you, that's the apostasy. But if we look at Scripture, it even gets worse. There's going to be the great apostasy that happens even after that. So let's look at that. So when that apostasy happens first, there's an apostate church. And let's say there's those, there's the Jews who abandon the law of Moses and embrace other beliefs or religions. Then Antichrist comes. There's going to be further apostasy. So now we're going to go into this great apostasy that occurs after that apostasy, after the Antichrist is revealed. And we'll look at a couple of portions of Scripture, and we're getting into Revelation a little bit here. Revelation 13. And the context here is in John's vision. He sees the beast coming from the sea. We'll pick it up in verse 7. It was also given to him, the beast, to make war with the saints and to overcome them. and authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation was given to him, the beast. All who dwell on the earth, there it is, will worship him. Everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who has been slain. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is destined for captivity, to captivity he goes. If anyone kills with the sword he must be killed. Here is the perseverance and the faith of the saints. Now there's a lot of other truths that are in this passage alone that can be another lesson. But let's focus on right now the further apostasy. After the apostasy, they went out from us. Let's say that's done. It's been fulfilled. John was warning us. The other New Testament authors were warning us. Now that apostasy happened, now Antichrist is revealed. What's going to eventually happen is there's going to be this beast kingdom that's going to rise to power that has, what, 7 heads and 10 horns. It's very graphic. And again, that's a study in and of itself, but we're not going to get there right now. But just know this. After that apostasy, after Antichrist is revealed, and then after authority was given to this beast kingdom and king, what's going to happen is this beast, the scripture tells us, was given authority over all the earth for 42 months. So 3.5 years. And actually, when you look at where we are in the book of Revelation, the letters to the 7 churches have already been read. The 7 seals have already been broken. The 7 trumpet judgments has already been done. And the 7 bowl of wrath judgments also happened. So there was already great calamity that happened in the earth at this time. After all those things, this beast kingdom arises out of the sea and was given all authority over all the earth. And those who dwell on the earth, and when you read that in scripture, here's another clue. Those who dwell on the earth are unbelievers, generally speaking. We're not those who dwell on the earth. Now, could those who dwell on the earth also include the elect? Again, that's another study in and of itself. But yes, but just know, generally speaking, those who dwell on the earth are those who worship the beast, who've taken his mark, as we'll see. But just know this. So those who dwell on the earth, it speaks of unbelievers, but it also speaks to professed Christians and professed Jews. So both professed Christians and Jews is going to forsake the faith and or the law of Moses and worship him. That's the great apostasy, is where I'm getting at. So we see that in Revelation 13. We'll look at another passage in Revelation 14. We're going to continue with this thought. Again, there's going to be this great apostasy. This is not even the one that John was prophesying about, but what scripture also tells us what happens after that. Revelation 14, and we'll read verses 9 through 12. And the context here, so the angel is warning. He's saying, whoever takes the mark and worships the beast in his image is going to be eternally cursed. That's the solemn warning in scripture. So that's the context. So let's pick it up. Verse 9. John sees in his vision. Then another angel, a third one, followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives the mark on his forehead or on his hand, he will drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength in the cup of his anger. And he will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. And by the way, hell is forever. Judgment is forever. You know, there's teachings, and I know this even, you know, coming out of the Catholic Church, they believe in annihilationism, or some form of Catholicism at least. And there's other religions out there that, you know, once you die, that's it. You just cease to exist. That is not true. If you fall under the judgments and wrath of God in judgment, you will be tormented and suffer forever and ever. It'll be forever. So it is a very, very grave, grave consequence. And that's the warning here. So let's pick it up in, again, in verse 11. And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. They have no rest day and night. They'll be restless. Those who worship the beast in his image and whoever receives the mark of his name. Here it is. Here is the perseverance of the saints, who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. So here's what we can glean from this passage. So those who are going to forsake the Old Testament and New Testament, you're going to forsake the Word of God, you're going to receive the mark. Whether you're a professed Christian or a professed Jew, doesn't matter. Those who forsake the Old Testament and New Testament, who forsake the Christian faith, will receive the mark and worship the beast and his image. You have committed great apostasy. And again, this is by contrast, as we see in verse 12. He says, here is the perseverance of the saints who keeps the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. So in contrast, true believers is not going to forsake the Old Testament or the New Testament. It's not going to forsake the faith. The true believers will not apostatize. So let's kind of sum this all up. So there is the apostasy. John talks about it in 1 John 2, Revelation 2 and 3, again, the letter to the seven churches. And again, that's another study, just so you know, the John's vision and his letters to the seven churches, or to the seven angels, to the seven, over the seven churches, that is also prophetic, and it also ends in the apostasy with the Laodicean church. So John wrote about it, about the apostasy, again, before Antichrist is revealed. Paul wrote about it in 2 Thessalonians, 2 Timothy. Peter wrote about it in 2 Peter. Jude wrote about it. Luke wrote about it, as far as the Jews are concerned. But these are all speaking about the apostasy before Antichrist. But as we covered in Revelation 13 and 14, John is speaking about further apostasy, the great apostasy after Antichrist. So all of this is at the end of time, towards the end of the last days, the last time, there will be an apostate church before Antichrist comes. The Jews will forsake the law of Moses after Antichrist comes. That's going to happen. It's going to happen before and after, in fact. Many professed Christians and Jews will embrace false teachers. Isn't that sad? Isn't that happening right now? Many professed Christians and Jews embrace false teachers. Many professed Christians and Jews will embrace doctrines of demons. Again, if the sole authority of truth is not the 66 books of the Bible, then you're going to embrace doctrines of demons. And many professed Christians and Jews will embrace false Christ and false messiahs, and then ultimately, many professed Christians and Jews will receive Antichrist himself. And again, many professed Christians and Jews will forsake the faith and the law of Moses, and is going to take the mark of the beast and worship the beast and his image after Antichrist is revealed. So they went out from us, talks about before Antichrist. Sadly, even though that's a sad reality or truth, it gets worse, as we saw. So here's where it gets to the truth for that. Here's the truth. If you were never truly saved, if you were never truly saved, you will depart from the faith. You will embrace false Christs, false messiahs, and false teachers. You will embrace doctrines of demons, and you will reject the Old and New Testament as the sole authority of Scripture. So if you were never truly saved, this is the reality. However, for those of us who are in the faith, if we are truly saved, you know what? That's also a promise, and we're going to cover that next time, or maybe a couple weeks from now, depending on our pace. You will never depart the faith. True believers will never depart the faith. True believers will never embrace false Christs, messiahs, and false teachers. And true believers will never embrace doctrines of demons. You know, a true believer who has the Spirit of God in him, if you're hearing these false doctrines, then the Spirit of God in you will stir within your soul, hey, something's fishy, something's not right with what I'm being told or taught. And if you are a true believer, you will never reject the Old Testament or the New Testament. If you reject one or the other, even though if you profess to be a Christian or a Jew, but you don't accept the full Old Testament and the full New Testament, then, again, that's an indication that maybe your faith is not genuine. And you know what? And again, this is just conjecture here. You know who's a big culprit of this, at least in a recent time? And sadly, it's the evangelical church. Now, what I mean by that is this. Now, evangelical church in its roots is good. But what happened over time, especially when it gets to the Crusades and things like that, it became pragmatic. What does pragmatic mean? It's this. How am I going to get you to make a decision for Jesus Christ? I will come up with a formula, and if you follow the formula, then this is going to be the expected result. So in that sense, being pragmatic about the gospel and not trusting and relying on the Word of God doing its work. Remember, the Word of God, if preached rightly, will not come back void. it will do its work. In fact, the Word of God will accomplish all its work in all its prophecies, regardless of our performance. But there should also be this element of faith that I don't need to help the Bible. I don't need to help God. I just need to get out of the way. But you know what? God, in His institution of the church and the body of Christ, He has given us the task to bring the gospel to those He would bring our way and who are willing to listen. So sadly, a lot of the crusades in evangelical church and this pragmatic approach to preaching the gospel, hey, how are we going to get people in a better mood? Hey, let's dim the lights. Hey, let's put a little mist. Hey, let's get their senses awakened so that they can make that decision because that's what we want. Raise your hand. Say this prayer. Write this down. Where is that in the Bible? Jesus never used any of those. Never. The apostles, never. However, now, could people be saved that way? Yes. I'm not saying you can't. Okay. But is that how the Lord taught His disciples? Is that how Paul taught Timothy? Hey, Timothy, make sure when you go and you get this gathering, you make sure that they repeat this prayer after you and that you make them raise their hand and you tell them that I set before you life and death. And if you say this prayer, then you're saved. And if not, then maybe next time. I can't assure you of your salvation. You can't assure me of my salvation. We can't. And it's not our place to. You know who assures you of your salvation? God. How does He assure you? His Spirit in your heart that testifies that you are His child. How else does He further assure you? When you go through His Word and you see the light of the gospel and the glory of the gospel and you believe and you know that this new birth, that this faith that you have to believe is from Him. Then, as we learn the truths, yeah, once saved, always saved, true. Did Christ die for all your sins? Amen. Past, present, and future. All of it. That's the truth. And only God, through His Spirit and His Word, confirming that in your spirit, that can you have assurance. Now, what happens is, if you're not being taught God's Word, how are you going to have assurance? Oh, you're going to take my assurance? If you say this prayer, you're saved, my friend. So you're going to take the word of man for your assurance. You're going to hang your hat on someone telling you what the truth is, rather than showing you what the truth is in the Bible. Show me. Because for all I know, you could be wrong. But again, show me through Scripture, confirming it with Scripture, that this is truth. Then God will take that. He will give me the assurance I need, and He will establish my faith.
Thank you so much for listening to the Truth Matters Church podcast. If there were ever a season to be grounded and rooted in Scripture and sound doctrine, we are certainly living in it now. The coming apostasy will lead many self-professed Christians to abandon their faith, follow after false teachers, and even take the mark of the Antichrist. We must stay firmly planted in Scripture, allowing it to guide us and lead us as we grow in faith and love of our Lord. And we must not let our love for Christ grow lukewarm or cold. The consequences are dire. We sure would love to connect with you today. You can find us at truthmatterschurch.org. Please join us again next time as we contend for the faith one verse at a time, here at Truth Matters Church.